Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
I don't know.
What is wrong with you?
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Think about the guys you grew up with. You like to get into the corner and just get a straight left.
Oh, tough guy.
I'm not suggesting we hit the president.
Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Bomb Tel Aviv? I know the people saying this aren't, you know, white Aryan males with tiki torches, but they have the same message. But the students that are allowing this to go on with the Hamas flags, letting these people onto campus, the professors that are participating in this, it's the same message, which is Jews are not welcome.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Joining us now on the line is Aidan Kearney, a.k.a. Turtle Boy. He's the blogger who's been writing about the Karen Reed case. Now he's facing charges of his own. But the jury selection was completed today, is my understanding, and there'll be final motions heard tomorrow. Then Friday is a day off, and on Monday... It's scheduled to begin. This trial is scheduled to begin with the opening arguments. Is that right, Aidan? Do they have 20 jurors or 19? That's what I'm unclear about.
I heard they got 19. I heard they got rid of five today and then added five more because there was, like, I don't know. People probably looked at their schedules and said, I can't afford to take 8 weeks off. I mean, who can?
Are we up to 8 weeks now? 8 weeks?
I mean, I think that's what we're looking at when we're all said and done. I would say 7 weeks at least. But you never know.
Yeah. Let me ask you about your trial first. One of the reasons I wanted to call you today is I saw the picture of Mello, the special prosecutor who's going after you, and he's got the oxygen tubes in his nostrils. I haven't seen anything like that in court since Larry Zanino was being sentenced for being a mobster back in the 1980s. Turtle Boy,
yeah,
that is.
It's this weird thing. He gets really sick whenever we need discovery or something like that. Luckily, he gets really better when there's a chance to send me back to jail, like on March 14th. He was spry. He kind of waltzed into the courtroom on March 14th. He was miraculously better. But then, yesterday, he couldn't breathe without those tubes in his nose. So I just hope he's okay.
And, you know, Larry Zanino, at least they made him come to court. I mean, he had the paramedic and the wheelchair and the tubes up his nostrils, but he was in court. This guy Mello can't even make it to court. And
they wheeled his ass into court. It's like but Mello, he just couldn't do it. You know, it's too much. He also doesn't drive. He doesn't have a license, so he gets dropped off at court by someone in a red truck. Maybe his ride didn't want to pay for it, the trip from Fall River to Dedham. Who knows? But it just seems like he's lost his fastball a little bit. He's not as into this as he was back in the day. Once he realized he had to do actual work, you know, to go forward with this, and that it's actually a pretty daunting task. Like, he's trying to, you know.
How old is he, by the way?
Oh, yeah. He's like a Fall River 55, I would guess. I'm not sure. He looks rugged, but, you know, I don't want to judge him. I don't think he takes too good care of himself just by the looks of him. He's got the Morrissey kind of frame to him. But I don't know about his work ethic.
All those complaints to the Board of Bar Overseers will really take it out of you, I think.
Yeah. So, they're not sending their best. They're not sending their best. And I just feel like they've lost their steam a little bit. And I think they're just waiting for the Reed trial to end. And I think eventually mine are going to get dropped because they can't go forward with this.
Yeah, so What's the latest on the? We keep going back to this proffer that was offered to the federal agent. I mean, have we learned anything more about what this involves and what he is going to testify or not testify to, and what kind of deal the feds have offered him? I mean, I know we don't know the actual official outlines, but what are your sources telling you about what he's going to say?
I mean, we don't know anything. We know nothing. Like, because the feds don't tell anyone anything what they're doing. Even Karen Reed's attorneys are kind of left in the dark about what the feds are investigating. So, your guess is as good as mine. He said there's a federal proffer. I'll take him at his word that exists. That's obviously a serious thing for Brian Higgins. And, these people in the next few weeks, you're going to be wildly entertained. That's one thing I can guarantee you. You're going to see things in a courtroom that you've never seen before. The prosecution gets to go first. They said they're going to take 4 weeks. Everyone on their list has to get cross-examined. That includes all the McAlberts. And they're not going to do so well. These are people who aren't used to being challenged, who have been hiding from the spotlight this entire time.
Again, though, we've talked about this before. Just because someone's on a witness list, that doesn't mean they're going to be called. I mean, do you think they're going to call, like, say, Colin Albert, as the prosecution's going to call him as a witness? I can't imagine it.
Look, they'd have to call Jennifer McCabe. They're going to have to call her because she's the star witness. And she is extremely arrogant, and she's most of these people have been kind of laying low a little bit. I've never seen Brian Albert or Colin Albert or Brian Higgins because they smartly just don't go out But Jennifer McCabe insists on living life as if nothing has changed, and so she goes out.
She's How Long to Die in Cold, right?
That's How Long to Die in Cold. That's correct.
Yeah, so obviously she's going to be asked How Long to Die in Cold about her tweet at 2:27. I mean, and there's no way the judge can entertain or sustain a motion to deny the defense the right to ask that question. I mean, I would think the prosecution would want to ask that question. You want to put the bad stuff out there before you introduce your witness, right? But I can't really imagine that they're going to ask that question. They're going to ask her to explain what she meant by how long to die in cold, to Google that.
Yeah. And she'll, of course, say, I didn't do that. And then the prosecution will come in and try to save her and say, we have some... actually, she did it at 6:24, which nobody disputes. Everybody agrees she did it later on. The defense contends she did that to mask the earlier one. But, and to a juror, the juror's going to hear all this, and at best, the Commonwealth is going to get jurors to say, well, I don't know who's telling the truth, which means we have reasonable doubt. Like, at best, that is what they can hope to get out of this, is that, like, I don't know what happened, which means they're not going to convict her.
Yeah. Now, another thing that I keep wondering about is Michael Morrissey. Now, I know he's not a prosecution witness, obviously. This is the district attorney who made this crazy videotape last summer and just put it out there, and it's just been shot full of holes since then. But again, I would think that this is a ways down the road when the defense has its chance to call witnesses. But you know damn well that the prosecution, Lally, the assistant DA, is gonna say, well, Your Honor, there's no reason to call the district attorney in this case. But again, I don't know how can she deny it after he made this idiotic statement.
Yeah, I mean, they've already made that argument. She has not made a ruling on it yet, is my understanding, and I think tomorrow she'll decide on that. I mean, but you're right. I mean, he voluntarily vouched for the witnesses. He didn't have to do that. He made himself part of this case. This victim witness advocate, Steve Nelson, is going to meetings with witnesses the day before they're supposed to testify in front of the federal grand jury, which is an odd thing for why is he even meeting with the Alberts and the McCabes? They're not victims of anything. Like, he's supposed to escort the family in, the O'Keefe family in, and he's meeting with Jennifer McCabe the day before she's supposed to testify in front of the federal grand jury, likely coaching him up what to say. So yeah, I mean, a fair judge would certainly allow Morrissey to be questioned, but this is Auntie Bev, so you never know what you're going to get.
So they, I mean, they're going to is, and again, I know they're, you probably don't have the answers to this, but this is what people are asking: are the feds going to try to step into this? I would think not, but I didn't think they would go as far as they have. So what do you?
You know, there's a lot of people that think that their theory is that they're going to give the prosecution the rope to hang themselves. Like they know things that the Commonwealth knows, or you know, and they want to see, like, is the Commonwealth ballsy enough to present evidence in court that the feds know, that the Commonwealth knows is inaccurate,
or
it's phony. Like, will they present it? So a lot of people think that, you know, they're giving them the rope to hang themselves, and that there might be intervention halfway. There might be indictments that come halfway, you know, into this. Who knows? That's what I mean by the next 2 months, you're going to be entertained by a court trial in ways that you've never been entertained before. This is going to blow O.J. Simpson out of the water, the amount of, like, must-see theater you're going to see in this courtroom in Dedham.
But you know what it's going to be, though, Turtle Boy, would be, my thought is they're going to be a lot of these endless sidebar conferences. Objection, Your Honor! Oh, no, you know, I'd like to meet the counsel at the sidebar. And then there'll be like a 20, 30-minute break. And you know, they don't have mics on the sidebar conference, right?
Nope. And it's all going to be over, like, what gets submitted to evidence, what you're allowed to ask, all that stuff. Because the last thing the prosecution wants is the defense asking questions of these witnesses, making them look stupid, which
right.
they're gonna do, and they're gonna, you know, they're gonna be like, I guarantee there will be a situation where they have a sidebar. Like, if they ask her about the Google search in 227, they're gonna ask for a sidebar and discuss whether or not can he ask that. They don't want them, like, again, these people have nothing to hide, but they also can't answer any questions. It's the oddest thing.
Right. Well, if so, let's say Proctor is the first witness, the state police investigator from the DA's office who is under investigation, and he has his own damning texts with some of the quote unquote witnesses. The first question is going to be, the first defense question is going to be, if the prosecution doesn't answer it. And again, I'm used to trials in the federal court where they put out all the dirt on their witnesses,
right.
But I don't think that's going to happen here. I don't think they're going to play by the traditional, you know, rules where you try to protect yourself, because they have so much dirt to hide. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, I mean, if I was Michael Proctor, I wouldn't be looking forward to this trial. If I was Jennifer McCabe, I wouldn't be looking forward to this trial. Nothing good can come of this, you know, for them. Like, they're going to be, they've probably been fearing this for so long. There was an evidentiary hearing scheduled for May 24th of last year that was set in stone. They canceled it the day before it was supposed to happen because the defense wanted to question Proctor, Brian Albert, and Jennifer McCabe. So these people don't, I guarantee this, they're fearing this. They don't want to go in.
Yeah, Trooper Proctor, are you under investigation, an internal affairs investigation by the state police?
Yeah.
Objection, Your Honor! Meet parties at the sidebar for a sidebar conference.
Like, did you lie to a state grand jury? You know, I mean,
objection, Your Honor.
There's so many questions to ask her. Why didn't, when she called 911 from outside the house, why didn't she tell the dispatcher she was outside her sister's house? The dispatcher tells her to get blankets, and she says she doesn't have any. She fails to mention, oh yeah, I'm outside of my sister's house, and her husband, he's a cop, so maybe I should go in there and wake up the first responder. But they don't do that. They never came outside of the house. The jurors are going to hear this, and they're going to have the same visceral reaction that I did and every other unbiased person did when they heard about this. At best, they're going to get reasonable doubt. At worst, these people are just going to look, the jurors are going to look at them and say, we know what's happening here. We're not stupid. We know that Karen Reed didn't do this. We know the people inside there did. One of you did it. We don't know which one of you did it, but somebody must have, because he died, and he didn't end up there on accident. So who did it?
I still want to know where Chloe is.
That's the million-dollar question. But, oh, by the way, things were blowing up outside in the buffer zone today. It's kind of backfired.
What happened?
A McAlbert friend. Yeah, there's this guy that showed up yesterday. He's like a convicted felon named Jonathan Lee Riches or something. I'd never heard of him before. And he showed up and he started yelling at me and telling me I'm going to prison and all this stuff. And he did the same to Karen today inside the buffer zone. And so after court, the police were sure to, like, kind of crack down on it. And there's this one kind of McAlbert friendly reporter. He's Wendy Murphy's idiot son, Grant Smith.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. You had a phone off with him. Yeah.
Right, their phone off, yeah. So he starts asking, like, grilling Karen about stupid questions or whatever, and the state police kind of just pushed him away. No, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. And, you know, those are the people that were cheering on censorship, you know, a couple weeks ago. But then when it happens to them, it's all of a sudden bad.
We got to take a break. Turtle Boy, can you come back for a couple of minutes more? A couple minutes till the bottom of the hour. Okay. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr, we'll be right back. The Howie Carr Show is back.
With us for a few more minutes is Aidan Kearney, a.k.a. Turtle Boy, and he's the blogger, and he's covering the Karen Reed trial. He's broken so many of the stories. He's got his own legal problems now, although they'll probably go away when the Karen Reed trial is over. Certainly hope so. Aidan, I don't anticipate having you on before the opening arguments, but you know, you never know with this case. I mean, there could be some more bombshells coming out of the motions tomorrow, right?
Yeah, you never know. There's never a dull moment in the Karen Reed hearings, for sure.
Yeah. So you told me that the state police that are supposedly enforcing the buffer zone right away from the courthouse, 200 feet. They didn't do anything with this guy that was hassling you yesterday and Karen Reed, the defendant, today?
Oh, yeah, no, that guy, no. And then he came to my house today, Howie, where my kids live, right?
He came to your house?
Yeah, I found out because somebody sent me the YouTube video. He streamed outside of my house, right? And not that I, you know, it's like when I do that, by the way, it's intimidating a witness.
Right.
I am a witness in a couple other cases. Like, I'm a protected class of people in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. You can't protest me, right? But when I do it, it's a felony, right? When someone else does it, it's just, you know, legally protected.
Well, look on the bright side. I guess you're in the same class with Brett Kavanaugh. You know, some transgender comes to his house with knives and ropes and guns, and nothing happens to him, right? Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I mean, not just him, though. The whole Supreme Court had that happen to him last year, at least the conservative ones did. And we were told that this is all, you know, just American spirit of First Amendment protected speech. You could protest outside people's homes. You know, then I do it to Jennifer McCabe, and all of a sudden it becomes felony witness intimidation. In fairness, it took 3 months. I did it in July. It became a felony witness, witness intimidation about 3 months later. So
there were no witnesses, but you were engaged in felony witness intimidation. I've never understood that one, but there's a lot about this trial I don't understand. Where can people follow you, Turtle Boy?
They can follow me on tbdailynews.com or on Twitter at Dr. Turtle Boy, because if Jill Biden's a doctor, then so am I.
And in this trial, people are asking, is this trial going to be on TV? Of course it is, right? You can get it. You're going to be able to get this trial anywhere, right?
Yeah, on YouTube. All the major networks, I think, will stream it on YouTube. I'm not sure if it'll be on, like, network TV, but certainly on YouTube, it'll be everywhere.
Yeah.
Social media.
There are going to be these lengthy sidebar conferences, but there will be a lot of fireworks, I'm sure. This is going to be a very interesting trial.
Yeah, get your popcorn ready. It's going to be like nothing you've ever seen before. If you thought Mark Furman was a bad witness, wait till you meet Michael Proctor.
I want him to ask Higgins about the proffer. You know, people are going to learn a lot. A lot of people didn't know what a proffer was until the last couple of weeks. They're learning fast. This is a lesson in legal tactics, criminology. Thank you, Turtle Boy.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pier Thunderstorm 3-Pack Special. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those bulky air purifiers. Take advantage of the Thunderstorm 3-Pack Special at EdenPureDeals.com and use promo code Howie3, promo code Howie3. And Taylor is working on some special projects, our new Meet the Experts podcast, which is coming up with the CEO of Balance 7. So Emma is filling in on the board. Emma, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question is, which Ivy League school do you most detest? Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Columbia, UPenn, Brown, Dartmouth, or Cornell?
As a former resident of the People's Republic of Cambridge, as a former property owner in the district, as a former renter to Harvard professors, and one-time teacher of a group for 5 mere weeks who had to cross a picket line against himself to get to his class, I'm voting for the local school, Harvard.
Harvard is in the lead with 65%. In second place is Columbia with 22%, and in third is Yale with 5%.
All right. And you can still vote in that poll question all night. Go to HowieCarshow.com, and it's right there at the side of the page. Who would you vote for, Emma?
Penn's close to home where I'm from.
You always got to go with the local school.
Yeah, yeah.
But Penn has kind of, fallen out of the headlines lately, hasn't it?
They've redeemed themselves slightly, slightly.
Slightly, yeah. But, they could always fall off the wagon. These are all recidivist schools when it comes to radicalism. No question about it. Michael, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Howie.
Yes.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Good, good. Good to hear. Well, I have a rebuttal to Turtle Boy. He is right about one thing, about getting the popcorn ready.
Yes.
Because in this trial, sir, if or when physical evidence shows that Colin Albert was gone before John and Karen arrived, yes, Turtle Boy, I will have my popcorn ready if that possibility surfaces pretty soon. And then I'm going to want to know what he's going to say then.
Okay, well, there will still be a lot of other people in the house that they'll have to talk about. They'll have to talk about that 227 Google search. They'll have to talk about the proffer from the feds. They'll have to talk about the internal investigation of Michael Proctor by the state police. They'll have to talk about the fact that the defense has said that three of these witnesses, Proctor, the state cop, the federal cop, Higgins, and a local cop, have all admitted that they lied to the grand jury. So all of that is going to be coming out in the wash as time goes on, Michael. And where is Chloe? Where is Chloe, the dog, the wonder dog? Thanks for the call, Michael. 844-500-4242. Donald Trump, his campaign just sent out a Truth Social or an email about another horrific crime involving an illegal alien. This one in Michigan, another illegal alien crime in Michigan. You know, the illegal alien from Mexico killed a woman a few weeks ago on the highway. Now this is another illegal alien from Mexico, charged after home invasion and sexual assault of two young girls. Miguel Hernandez Ruiz. He's being held without bond. He was in the country on a temporary work visa that expired in December 2021. Deputies were called to a mobile home park in Sturgis, Michigan, in response to a call for a break-in. Two girls under the age of 13 were allegedly sexually molested by the savage fiend from the third world. The sisters say the man threatened to kill them if they tried to scream or escape. The girls claim he used his hands to assault them while exposing himself. The cops tracked the suspect down to Indiana. That's where the goon fled. I don't believe this person will follow any of the rules of bond if he doesn't get a bond. If he does get a bond, I think he meant, the prosecutor said, he doesn't follow any other laws. Why would he follow? Why would he follow the rules of a release on bond? He explained that Hernandez Ruiz's permit only allowed him to be in the U.S. from late August through the end of the summer to work agricultural jobs, but he hasn't been following these rules. He's on welfare. They're all on welfare. That's why why would they go home to Mexico, where they would have to go back to work, when they could stay in Michigan and get away with raping young girls and driving drunk and committing every other kind of crime. 844-500-4242. So this is again. I mean, Trump should be making an issue of this. And again, the New York Post has pictures of these thugs outside one of the flop houses that used to be a nice hotel on 8th Avenue, and they're battling in broad daylight with baseball bats. These are illegal aliens. They've had other brawls in Yonkers. They've had rapes in the tent city in Brooklyn at that airfield. Thank you, Joe Biden. 8-4, and he's worried. Oh, we're going to have peace in Ukraine because all the troops were in the trenches and they were watching the vote on TV. Really? You don't say, Joe. Anyway, this was also at Columbia today. Representative Mike Lawler is one of the two New York reps, New York congressmen, who filed legislation to strip Columbia of all of its federal funding and to get rid of all the students, all the illegal aliens who have been the legal aliens who have gotten visas, but now are taking part in all these riots involving the Nazi hippies on the college campuses and shouting "Death to America." They're all in here on a free ride. The American students have trust funds or are demanding that their student loans be paid off eventually. But at the same time, they're chanting "Death to Israel," and then the follow up chant is "Death to America." It's like Tehran on a Friday night. Death to the little Satan, death to the great Satan. We've recreated Tehran in Morningside Heights and on the banks of the Charles River at MIT and in Medford at Tufts and in the Bang Bay at Emerson. And that's just in our area. So this is Representative Mike Lawler of New York, who's calling for a defunding Columbia University. He was with Speaker Johnson today. And again, he's in a tough fight. They're trying to redistrict all these newly elected Republican congressmen. But I think this is a winning issue. I mean, who wants to see this BS go on with all these pampered pukes, many of whom aren't even Americans? Cut 21, Mike Lawler at Columbia University.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, for being here in New York. I want Palestinians to be free, too, from their oppressor, Hamas. And every single one of you students that support Hamas are an absolute abomination. It is shameful, shameful that you would support a terrorist organization that butchered and beheaded and burned innocent women, children, and babies. I went to Israel a month after the attack on October 7th. And I watched a 21-minute unedited video, raw footage of the attack. I watched exactly what Hamas did. And sadly, sadly here in America, we have students endorsing the butchering and brutality of a terrorist organization. If you want a ceasefire, the fastest way for a ceasefire to occur is for Hamas to surrender and to release the hostages.
Exactly.
And if you can't call for that, you are a pathetic embarrassment to this institution and to students everywhere.
You know, there used to be normal students at Columbia University. I don't think there are many anymore. I mean, I guess Barack Obama went there in the 70s, or no one ever saw him, but he claims he went there and he got a degree. KJP went there, obviously. She didn't learn much. I don't know if they had a GED program or what. But they used to have normal people there. Ted Kennedy made a speech there in 1980 when he was running for president, losing. And he had to drive by Fraternity Row at Columbia University. And one of the frat houses put out some stereo speakers. And as Ted Kennedy was driving by, they were playing their favorite Simon and Garfunkel song. I guess you know where the story's headed. As Ted Kennedy drove by, he heard "Bridge Over Troubled Waters." Those were when Americans went to Columbia University, Americans with a sense of humor, Americans who didn't want to kill all the Jews. It's when you had, I don't know who the president was, but he wasn't born in Egypt and he wasn't a Muslim, unlike the current president. This is Jared Moskowitz. He's a lib. He's from Broward County, nearby where I'm broadcasting from for a few more days. But he's pro-Israel, and he was talking about how ridiculous it is that what these student demonstrations, and about how are they any different from the people that Biden is always denouncing, the people who marched out of the woods in Charlottesville, Virginia. Cut 9.
Let's just look at what's happening. We were mad years ago when we saw Charlottesville and Jews will not replace us and Donald Trump saying good people on both sides or Mexicans are rapists, right? But somehow we don't have the same anger of go back to Poland. My grandfather's entire family was killed in Poland. He was the sole survivor. Right. All Zionists should be killed. Bomb Tel Aviv. I know the people saying this aren't, you know, white Aryan males with tiki torches, but they have the same message. These students that are participating in this, and it's not all of them, but the students that are allowing this to go on with the Hamas flags, letting these people onto campus, the professors that are participating in this, it's the same message, which is Jews are not welcome.
By the way, Trump wasn't pandering to the people that came out of the woods in Charlottesville the way Biden was pandering to these hippie Nazis and these just flat out Muslim Nazis who are joining with the hippie Nazis in these riots on college campuses. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Adding your two cents is easier than ever. Call Howie at 844-500-4242 or text the word Howie followed by your message to 617-213-1066.
He's Howie Carr, and he's back.
844-500-4242. Limerick guy Sandy Koufax went to Columbia back when we lived in America. I didn't know that. Sandy Koufax was Jewish from Brooklyn. He wouldn't pitch on Yom Kippur. That was the first time that ever happened. This was in the World Series. He was great. Had to retire early, but he was the dominant pitcher of his era. Even more so than Juan Marichal or Don Drysdale. 844-500-4242. Someone else also says, third world males know that you can't have more fun than being a reprobate human being committing crimes against women. As far as they're concerned, that's some kind of fun. It certainly seems to be some kind of fun, doesn't it? You know, I mean, Moskowitz was complaining that Trump said that there were a lot of Mexican rapists. Well, there's certainly, this guy is a Mexican and he seems to be a rapist. And the guy who killed the woman on the highway in Michigan, he was a Mexican. They just shot her in the head, pulled her out of the car. 844-500-4242. This is Scott Galloway. He was a professor at NYU, and he was talking about how, you know, that there's this tendency. Oh, you know, you can't say that all of the hippies are Nazis. And you know, you have to have some nuance. And they're not all saying this. You know, like, and he, this guy, Scott Galloway, I doubt he's a Trump voter, but he makes a really good point here. Cut three.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU Square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech, as long as it's against Jews.
Yeah, they keep saying that, you know, oh, they're not all like this. You know, this is just a handful of people. There were no distinctions made between the people at Charlottesville and the neo-Nazis. There were no distinctions made between FBI agents provocateur, you know who I'm talking about, on January 6th, and all the people who were just there to express their outrage about what had happened in the 2020 election. There were no distinctions. There were no nuances made there. And here's the Columbia students. We played this earlier, but we have to play it again. These are some co-eds, I guess, from Barnard, and who didn't get suspended. But they're really down for the struggle. 15.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Yeah. You're having a kegger,
you're
man.
You're more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia. And we came down.
Wow.
They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
We had the word. They had some PJ at the Omani Patma house. And so we came down from Morningside Heights, dude. It's really groovy. They're down for the struggle. They're really into it. Ask them who the leader of Israel is. Ask them who the leader of Syria is. Jordan, Egypt, any of these countries. Ask him who the head terrorist is. His first name is the same as a Rolling Stones live album from 1971, Yaya. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.